Well, it's a blessing to be here today and to be gathered together in the name of Christ. I've started this series called Christ and Culture, and last week we looked at money and possessions. This week we're looking at entertainment, and in a few weeks' time we'll be looking at homosexuality, and then following that the outworking of some of these things in church life and in society at the moment. But the overall passage to frame this, which I'm going to read again, is from Romans 12:2. In fact, Russell, could you hop up and read Romans 12:2? You could just stand on the pop. Yeah, take your time. I can tread water. And this is sort of underscoring the heart of what the aim and purpose is through this time from Romans 12:2. Nice loud voice, Russell. Amen. And that is the aim, to be transformed. And there is a need for us to do two things: to come out of our culture and the way that we are being conformed by it, and then to come to God, to Christ, and to be conformed by Him and by His Word. That's me on the tractor, is it? Nice. And you're in the trailer, it looks like. Nice. Very good. The balloon's coming back around. This is great. Yes, we've turned the heating on. All right, it's going up. There we go. Maybe at some point later while I'm preaching, it will descend and we'll see. There we go. Next week, we're going to have Stu Hunt come out. And I'm pretty sure most of you will be aware that Stu is going to be wrapping up in his role as lead pastor. That will be his last time preaching here to us as a Hurstbridge campus. So, looking forward to that. But we want to be seeking through this time that we are not conformed to the culture that is around us, or even the culture that many Christians have and many churches have, but conforming to Christ and having that as our standard. I want to read this passage from 1 Corinthians 6 just to frame this time as we look to entertainment and what entertains us and what often happens when we indulge in entertainment. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. As I look at these verses, brothers and sisters, I see that many people in the faith don't take them very seriously or think about how we are being dominated or under the yoke of something, enslaved to it. Peter wrote at one point in his second letter, and he said these very penetrating words in 2 Peter 2, verse 19. In the second part of the verse, it says, whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. And often we are overcome, we are dominated, we become slaves of something. We say, look, that's lawful, or it's, you know, it's all right. But we do not come to that standard that Paul has, where he says, I will not let anything dominate me. I will not let anything master me, because I want that to be a pure pace in my life where Jesus Christ alone is my master. And that's what I desire and what I am aiming for the outcome through this in Christ and culture. And with entertainment, it's one of these things that is so, we're saturated with entertainment. Man, got a clear throat as well. We're saturated with it. Yeah, that'd be great, Steve. I did have a glass of water, but my son, when he placed the bag under the chair, knocked it over. Accidentally, so. There's a saturation of entertainment in our society, and I think often we're not realizing the effect that it's having on our lives and what's taking place. And there are all forms of it, but I'm going to look at probably some of the common or main forms, and you can cast that net wide. And not everything that is entertaining is wrong. Don't hear me saying that. But much of it is, actually, if you look at it. So there's lots of forms. One, which I'm going to talk about a bit, is movies. Thanks so much, Steve.
Lovely.
Movies that come through Hollywood, cinema, stuff you watch on TV, Netflix, Stan, YouTube, online clips, all sorts of things. You might be signing up for seasons and things of various episodes of stuff. Gaming, another form of entertainment, can take lots of forms. Yeah, can someone grab that balloon, Levi, just above your head? You've been chosen. Don't let it go. Yeah, that would be great. Feel free to pop it if you like. We're going to have a game with it afterwards. Gaming, again, it can take many forms on the PC, on all sorts of gaming platforms, on your phone. I remember early on, one of the first computers we had, and Minesweeper became a big thing in our family. Some of you might not know that game, but there's all forms of games. Music, and can come on the things you listen to on the radio, Spotify, YouTube, live concerts, all sorts of ways. And all these are different forms of entertainment. Again, not everything that happens here is bad or good necessarily, but there's a need, a great need for discernment. And I see in the body a great lacking of discernment and a great willingness to swallow all kinds of entertainment to the detriment of faith and life in Christ. And as we were just looking at, you know, through what Brett was saying, it displays where our treasure is, what is truly valuable to us. I've been considering this and thinking a lot, what is actually driving all of this entertainment that comes to us? And there's so many forms, the things that you watch. And as you're watching, you know, you can be watching a movie, and in that movie it can go through all sorts of scenes and situations and circumstances. And without even realizing it, you may have watched, you know, several sex scenes, several killings and murderings, and be exposed to all sorts of disruptive behavior that is judgmental, bitter, vile in how someone uses their mouth in their swearing or whatever, and come out the other end and say, man, wasn't that a great movie? You can do that, unfortunately. And it's easy for us to do that. And what is driving this? And if you have a look, you know, if you look back to some of the old movies, you know, I've sometimes watched Ben-Hur, you know, there used to be a saying, this is bigger than Ben-Hur, because that was a movie that they invested so much time and effort in, and the reels of film that they had to cut was massive. It was a massive movie. You know, or even way back, you may see stuff like early Disney of Mickey Mouse, you know, chuffing along on the boat, or Charlie Chaplin, even going further back, you know, or gaming as well. You know, you go back to, you know, even 5, 10 years ago, the games that were being brought out are very different. Music as well. And you have a look at that trajectory over time. Is it a trajectory towards greater good, greater healthiness, greater wholeness? You're smiling. We all know the answer. It is a trajectory towards greater vileness, greater evil. Why? Why isn't it getting better? Why isn't it getting more light, more positive, more upbuilding? And yes, there are elements of that. You can find it. There are believers operating in this space, in the music industry, in generating film and television stuff, in gaming. And there are people who are seeking to bring the light of Christ to these places. But by and large, a lot of it really trends in that direction. What is going on? What is driving the entertainment industry. And in a point, you could say, yeah, probably there's a part of it that there's a striving for excellence to be the top. You know, there's music awards, there's movie awards, to achieve a really great outcome, to smash the box office. And that's quite an achievement to do that, you know, or to top the charts in music. So there can be a drive for performance or to get the top place. Even a drive, there can be good things driving this, to help others, making poverty history. There have been massive music concerts held to do that. I think it would be really good for them to read what Christ said when he said, you'll always have the poor with you. You'll never be able to make poverty history. And to put their faith in that, and then to work out, all right, what does it look like then to engage in poverty from that place, from that understanding? So there's even positive things that can come. But by and large, as I've thought about it, I think one of the greatest drives and the deepest drives for the entertainment industry is exactly what we were looking at last week, and that's money. And it is the drive of money, of people who are creating all sorts of music, all sorts of games, all sorts of movies and TV shows. It is the drive of money that is driving this industry. I don't know. I tried to Google how much the Australian entertainment industry is worth, and it's sort of, you know, where does it start and stop, and you know how much, but it's multi-billions of dollars. You know, the stuff that could really, have a lot of effect in many areas. But as we looked at last week, it says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And you see that in the entertainment industry. As something is put out there, some sort of movie, some sort of game, some sort of music, there is an entertainment that happens. You like it, you enjoy it, you appreciate it. But then the next time you go to watch that movie, you've already seen it, it's not so impressive, or you know, you watch another movie and it's the same sort of a thing. And so there's this need, if those people who are producing those films, those games, that music, they need to do something again that is going to be even more entertaining than what it was before, to entertain you or someone else, so that you appreciate it and you come back and you buy their thing so that they get the money that they're wanting, or the power, the influence, the success that they're after, whatever is driving them. And as that happens, there's a perpetuation of sin that deepens, because ultimately what pulls us into that entertainment place is the desires of our flesh, the disgusting things that we like, whether it's sex, whether it's the degrading of something, whether it's the violence, the whatever. There's a drawing in on that level, whether it's what is being sung about, or how the performer who is singing is being dressed up, whatever it may be. There is a need, as we feed on entertainment, for that entertainment to continue to grow in luring us in drawing us in. And that is this trajectory. So you will see that there is this increase in sin. One of the other things I've noticed is there is a glorification of sin. And if you ever watch stuff, have a look through this lens. If you listen to music, listen through the lens of glorifying sin, glorifying something that is actually disgusting. And you'll see it quite clearly. How many movies, for example, have you watched where someone has been a robber and they've stolen something, but they've been the good guys in the movies? They're trying to get away from the cops. Or, you know, there's someone who's in prison, they're trying to break out, you know, and they've done all these bad things, and there is a glorification of sin, of something that is terrible. Or, you know, this person, they were in an unhealthy marriage and they got out and committed adultery and, you know, sought vengeance and whatever else. And wow, you're cheering that person on in your heart in the movie. The way that everything is constructed is to glorify something that is sinful. In Philippians, Paul wrote this. He said in chapter 3, verse 18, many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. They glory in their shame. Their God is their belly. That's talking about how they serve the things that they want, they crave, whatever it might be. All sorts of cravings we can have. And that becomes our God, or can, and it is for many people. But they glory in their shame. It's not like something that is detestable. They have no shame about it. In fact, they're like, oh, I don't care. I'm in fact glad that I do that, and I enjoy it, and I rejoice in it. And you can try and shame me, but I'm not going to care about that at all. That is such a dangerous place to be. There is a healthy place for shame, brothers and sisters. It does a good thing to hold us in check, and as we bring that to Christ, we can walk in the right fashion. It's a bad place to be if you never feel any shame. You've got a very dead conscience at that point. You're really not caring. You're not feeling much. The other thing that I've noticed is something that Isaiah wrote many years back. This is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. And it's sort of a similar, along similar lines. But you'll notice this trajectory in the entertainment industry. He wrote in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Can you see that? How the bitter things are sweet in entertainment and the sweet things are becoming bitter and portrayed in that light. Reflect on that. And you see how if someone is having every time sweet for bitter or salt for sugar and swapping it around and your taste buds are all over the place, how are you actually going to be discerning when it's all mixed up, the things that you're mainly feeding upon and is being the framework for you? In Hebrews, chapter 5 also, chapter 5 Isaiah, chapter 5 of Hebrews, it says this, "Solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." The swapping of good for evil, light for darkness, that happens in entertainment is becoming so much that you may not even realize it's happening. Yes, you might be able to say, and yes, murder is wrong, committing adultery is wrong, or these things are wrong, but how subtle is that getting, or how much is it swapping, and how much are you able to discern? Brothers and sisters, one of the things that I resolved and I desire and I work towards is that I might be able to discern every form of evil and every form of good through the Word of God, as far as it is possible for me before God. God knows everything. You know, there are some things that are hidden from us, right? But Lord, as far as I'm able, may I be able to discern when I'm taking a spoonful of sugar to discern if there's a grain of salt in a spiritual sense in that. Or are you taking a spoonful of sugar and half of it's salt and you don't even mind? You love the taste when you should be spitting it out. And this is how our society is being trained, through entertainment. And the thing about it as well is that there are so many on-ramps, so to speak. It's like there are all these places that are slight and not that bad or not that difficult, not that terrible. But as you start to indulge or engage in them, it takes you deeper and deeper and deeper. And there are so many people who are caught up in all sorts of terrible kind of sins and enslaved simply because they started at one point here and led. I read a story about a girl who started reading books that were sort of fantasies about romantic relationships. And then from there she discovered something else and something else, something else. And she became so entangled in the sin of lust and sexual sin that it destroyed her body in such a devastating fashion. there are so many on-ramps. And I want you to take a look at your life and think, whereabouts are you placed in this? What have you been satisfied with or okay with watching, sitting through? And saying, because often there is this level of justification that happens in the back of our minds, you know. It can be anything, like it's not the real thing. Someone's not really getting killed here, you know, they're just acting out. Or, you know, it's not really, you know, having an impact like that. Or it can be like, this is how I relax and unwind. I just hop on, just game for a bit, or, you know, throw Netflix on. Or I want to be relevant to the people around me. I want to be able to know what they're experiencing, to when they're talking about a movie, when they're talking about a game, I want to be able to understand. There are all sorts of justification that we can give for this. But what happens, brothers and sisters, is that we are being affected, whether we like it or not. You could say, no, I can still watch a movie of people being shot, or a movie where there's all sorts of sex reasons and tell you, you know, adultery is wrong, murder is wrong. That doesn't affect me. Yes, that might be true. It might not affect your mind too much, but I imagine there would be some subtle areas where perhaps your mind is affected, the way that you think about things. But what is probably being affected more, brothers and sisters, is your desire. What do you love? What do you desire? Where is your treasure? And this is something that I believe Satan is really working to undermine the church in, because we desire to watch movies, we desire to game, we desire to listen to music more than we desire to gather with our brothers and sisters, more than we desire to build someone up in their faith, more than we desire to be in prayer. How much, brothers and sisters, are your desires being affected? And you're okay with that? Or you're comfortable? You're happy? You may not have even realized. Or how enslaved are you? When you've got a uni assignment coming up, or a deadline, something you're working towards, and you're like, I'm just going to finish off this season. You know, it's the last one in the season, and I just need to get this done. And then it's 3 a.m., and you've watched the next three or four of the next season. And how much of this is actually contributing to our lives? What are we taking away from it that is a contribution, that is good, that is upbuilding, that is giving life? How much of it is affecting our ability to discern? Because, brothers and sisters, I would say this, that in the church, many people are being entertained to death. And what I mean by that is, if you take your definition from the Bible of life, and there was a man in the Bible who said, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you take that to be your definition of life, then to move away from that person is to move towards death. Doesn't mean that you're abiding or living in death, but you're being entertained to death, away from life. Because life is a person and his name is Jesus. And he has come that you might have life and life to the full. Yet there is the washing of your heart in an unclean desire that draws you in again and again to be entertained, to enjoy. And that is actually defiling you in your spirit and being. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6 and a bit at the moment, and with what you're sharing, Brett. He said in Matthew 6, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let me just read another passage, just a few verses over, and I'm just going to work in conjunction with these two verses. And this is from Matthew chapter 15, verse 17. Jesus has just been talking about how what you eat doesn't make you unclean. He said, verse 17, Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth and passes into the stomach is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart and defiles, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. It's out of the heart. We can say that we're not being affected, but we would have to say that we are, at least on the level of our desires. And at least there is a level of defilement going on. When you sit through a sex scene and watching a movie, or perhaps it's coming up on a game, or I don't know, they're singing about it, whatever it may be. There is a level of defilement that happens, and you might not even be aware that that is happening, and that's the state of your conscience, which is okay. Hear me in this, brothers and sisters, that it doesn't matter what place any of us find ourselves in. As we come to Christ, He's able to set us free and to draw us into the light and the life that He has come to offer us. But as He said, your eyes are the light of your body. This is the place, what we see and what we hear is the place that is inputting into our hearts. And that's where Christ says, out of the heart, that's where theft, adultery, all these thoughts, these desires, they come from there. And as we desire them, we become like a vacuum, sucking in that sort of a thing through entertainment. And the people who are creating that love that, fill their pockets, get more power and influence or whatever they're wanting, and then dish out more, even worse than what was before. So we have a great need, and we have an even greater Savior. Brothers and sisters, it is written that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. May you not wallow in guilt. And I'm going to come to that because, you know, we've just been looking at this in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read these verses to you from verse 1. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace that you have been saved and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've just been going through this in Ephesians. Christ has come to deliver us. And we have a need to draw near to Him. Brothers and sisters, I believe that there is a day coming when He is going to come on the clouds and every eye will see Him. And there will be such a great light that will come that will expose all the darkness. And we need to live by faith in that day. You can walk out of this building and it's going to feel very normal, how is that going to happen? It takes faith. But as we look to that day in faith, how the light will expose the garbage and the rubbish that we have delighted in and that we have craved, and we have gone back, as it says, like a dog to the vomit for more, like a pig going to wallow in the mud again. How we have gone back, how each of us have walked in this fashion. I am not above this, brothers and sisters. I have walked in such a way myself. But praise be to God that He has set me free and He sets you free as well. His blood cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. That's what we celebrate when we come to the Lord's table in communion. We celebrate the blood of Christ cleansing us And even though we feel so dirty, and we can right now, you could draw up images or sounds that you have heard, things that people have sung into your ears over the years, that it would be so shameful to mention here in the gathering. And yet the blood of Christ is more than able to cleanse you from all of that. But how it has an effect and how it can be a snare ongoing, how what the eye sees is so powerful. Perhaps you watched a movie years ago that had blood and gore, and that you twitched at and it was repulsive, and yet now you can swallow so much more than that. But how that impacted you back then. Brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ is ready and available for all who receive it to cover all sin, anything that you've indulged in. But let us not take the blood of Christ in a flippant manner. Let us not receive it like that. I grew up in Tassie, and there I had a friend who was a youth leader with me, and she began to go off into the world. And I remember as a young 15, 16 year old talking with my friend and she started getting involved with people who were stealing cars and all sorts of things. She got tattoos of guys on her and that sort of a thing. And I remember talking with her and she was saying, you know what, I can do all these things and I know that God will forgive me. And she kept doing it. Brothers and sisters, let us not regard the precious blood of Christ in such a fashion, because we are each going to need to appear before Him. You do not want to have to say that on that day, I took it for granted. When the light is truly switched on like that at His coming, and you are going to see every aspect of darkness, and you're going to be naked before Him, you're not going to be able to hide behind the person or justify or hide the things in your heart that you can hide from me or your brothers and sisters. You're going to be naked, every thought, every desire. I'm going to be as well. We're going to need. Let me read to you. Some of us, you know, we don't realize that there is a judgment. It says this. Paul's writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, and he says in verse 10, he's writing to the church, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You know what, brothers and sisters, that does not mean a condemnation to hell for the believer. But it means an assessment, a judgment, a discernment through the living God who knows all things, of everything you've ever done or seen or everything. And they'll be coming before Him. You know what? I'm preparing myself for that day to look the Lord Jesus in the eye and say, yes, Lord, I did that. And I do not want to justify it before you. I do not want to try and hide under sun cover or grab a fig leaf like Adam and Eve did. But I want to come before you naked and say, I did that. And I'm sorry, it wasn't right. I hurt my wife. I destroyed there. I walked in sin. I gratified the cravings of my flesh. I'm preparing myself, brothers and sisters, to say that to the Lord Jesus when I see Him. And to say, I want to receive your forgiveness. I have sought to walk in a fashion like that, that I've not counted it as something just to be flippant with, but to be valued. Prepare yourselves now, brothers and sisters, to have that conversation, that your life might be revolutionized, that you might be transformed and not conformed to this world. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses died without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine and I will pay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let us not take these things lightly. Because as good as that movie is, as good as playing that game is, as good as relaxing or as unwinding as it makes you feel, or as relevant as you feel you're able to be, your nakedness will be exposed, brothers and sisters, as will mine. And in that place, that is where we say, Lord, I need your blood. And I ask that I can receive it to enter, to be with you, to dwell. And by faith we receive it. It says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Because when we walk in that defiled place, how it undermines the Lord's ability to work through us. How many times have you found it hard to come to church on a Sunday morning after something you watched Saturday night? And the defilement felt fresh. You felt ashamed. And the devil was just picking you off. Come here if you're in that place, brothers and sisters. Share in a vulnerable place with a brother or sister you trust. Pray. Gather. Don't allow yourself to be picked off. But draw near to the Lord and receive his blood. Let us go on receiving it and continue. And as we do that, you see, as we receive the blood of Christ in a continual fashion and say, Lord, I do not want to walk in a place where I'm taking this for granted, that changes your life because you start to realize what is truly valuable. You cannot get forgiveness of sins through the movies you watch, through all those things. It is only found in Christ, and you start to get the clarity of the treasure that you have as a son or daughter of the living God. And you can give that, sharing that gospel to others and walking in that reality. I encourage you, if there is something that needs to change in your life, to act upon it. Maybe you need to delete an account. Maybe you need to get rid of a game. Maybe you need to get rid of something. I don't know. Sit with the Lord before that and act. I tell you a time I was a few years back, I thought, you know what? I found a game on my phone. I just downloaded it. I thought, I just love something to, you know, just relax a bit and, you know, play a game. And I haven't played much over the years. So anyway, I started playing this game, and you know what happened? I just got so ensnared in it. I started, you know, like every moment I was turning and I was thinking, what can I do? And thinking about how I was leveling up and getting through all these things. And I just thought, man, I'm just enjoying this game so much, you know? And I started turning and playing that game on my phone. I just thought, Lord, as much as I want to keep playing this game, I've got to delete it for your sake. And I deleted it. And I've never gone back to try and get another game on my phone. Because I just know, even I have a game that can be perceived as educational and how it's set up to be so addictive, there is a need to walk in freedom. And it is yours for the taking. Christ has done the work. And brothers and sisters, what a blessing to be in a body. That we have others around us who we can share with, we can open up with, we can say, you know what, when Oliver was sharing today, I was just really convicted over this area. Like, I have not seen it in that light, I have not understood it in this way, I have been content, or I've indulged in this area. Can you pray for me? What's the person going to say? Look at you, you failure. No! Look around you, who would do that? Wouldn't the heart be broken of your brother and sister? Wouldn't there be further confession perhaps on their part? Wouldn't there be a love? Wouldn't there be a drawing into the light? Wouldn't there be a manifestation of the precious life of Christ, of which there is none other? It's yours for the taking. I put it before you. Let's stand together and pray in celebration of the Lord Jesus, that we might know Him as our true treasure, that we might desire Him more than any movie, any subscription, any game, any music. Lord Jesus, to You be the glory and the honor and the praise. It is by You, Lord, that I am able to preach a gospel like this that has power. It is nothing that I have done or anyone else here has done, but it is because of You, Lord Jesus, and it is because we work together with Your Spirit to lay hold and bring about the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there are people here today among my brothers and sisters who are being entertained to death, then I ask for a coming of the senses, Lord, and may You use this time, I believe You already have been, to be waking up out of the slumber and to be recognizing what they truly desire is to be entertained in whatever form that looks like. Lord, we ask for the spirit of Zacchaeus that, as we were looking at last week, just penetrated through and says, I'm going to give away all of this. If I've robbed anyone, I'm going to pay back or cheated anyone 4 times. Lord, may that same spirit be at work in this area of entertainment. Lord, that we might treasure You rightly and look forward to the day of Your coming, that we can say, yes, Lord, when I heard that message of life or death in the air of entertainment, I chose You and I wanted to walk to You more. Yes, I fell down at points, but Lord, by Your Spirit, through my brothers and sisters, I was able to get up and to return and to press on. Lord, may this be our testimony as we look naked into You, before You. And Lord, may we each be found on that day to receive the precious blood of Christ, not to have sought it in vain, but to have that blood covering all of our sins in Christ Jesus, and to receive the treasure that You give us through the good things that You have done through us, Lord, as the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces that. We ask this for Your precious name and glory, Lord. Amen.